I've been looking at Ephesians, and obviously, if you noted from the music today, we're talking about the armor of God. We talked about putting on the whole armor of God. We talked about the need to do that in every way. But in this scripture, he talks about in Ephesians 6, verse 14 says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." We'll think today about being girded with truth. Being girded with truth. Put on God's armor, truth. So if we think about that, truth is a very vital part of what we're doing. Truth is sort of foundational. It seems like when you talk about put on the armor of God, truth comes first. It's sort of the beginning point of everything else sort of hangs on truth. So let's think about putting on God's armor, truth. If you found your outline in your bulletin, which I hope you did, there are scripture references that I'll be reading, so please note that. And the reference, the fill in the blanks will be on the screen as well. So I'll begin with, look to the Bible as a basis of truth. Look to the Bible as a basis of truth. When we talk about what's true, what's right, we start with the Bible, God's Word, as a basis for what is true. So let me think about that with you. Let me read the scripture passage. It's on your notes. It says, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compose an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the Word, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught." In the beginning of this Gospel of Luke, the Scripture says, he said, "I set out to put together an account of things." But notice what he said. He didn't just take anybody's word for it. Do you notice what he said? Where did he get what he wrote, what Luke gave us? He said what? "From the beginning, those who are eyewitnesses and servants of the Word," he said, "they know what they're talking about. What they're sharing with you is what they told him that they had seen for themselves. And they were saying," and he was writing to us, "this book, the Bible, which is included, obviously the book of Luke is included in, is God's Word and it is true." Is it true? Is it always true? Is it true from Genesis to Revelation? So we need to say, if I want to know the truth, I come to the Scriptures. I'm not saying there are not other truths beside it, but as a Christian, if we're going to put on the armor of God, we need the truth of what God says about every situation and about our life. So the basis of truth is God's Word. He said, "I wrote to you that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught." And I'm encouraging us to do that. The other scripture reference on your note says, "I do not ask you," this is Jesus talking, "I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." I suppose I'm talking to the choir. But I need to be convinced, you need to be convinced of what this book tells me about God, about salvation, about life, which I'll talk more about as we go, is true, is accurate, is reliable. There are those today who say, "Well, it's just a storybook," or "it's just fiction." No, it's not. It's God's Word. It is true from the beginning to end. And so if I want to know what's true about really what life is all about, I need to be searching this book myself. I've said it, you've heard it, and I'll keep on saying it probably. You need to search the book for yourself. It's all right to hear messages, all right to hear commentary, read commentaries, but you need to study the book. And as many of you already know, the best commentary on this book is this book. It is. I'm not saying don't use commentaries. I'm not saying don't use other things. But You can use tools and search and see what the Bible says about what it says in more than one place many times, and you search it and you discover it's true. The thing we discover about the Word of God is it is always true. It is always true. So if someone comes to you or some group or some individual comes and says, well, now this is true, but it conflicts with what the Bible says, you need to realize they're not telling you the truth. Because it conflicts with the Bible, it is not true. Now, our world don't like that. We live in a time, I think, when many people say, whatever is true is whatever I think is true. Truth is what I define as truth. We live in a time when it seems like around us in general, there are no truths that are absolutely true. It's depending on whether I think it's true or not. Well, I want to remind you that this word is true. And you're well aware, as you read the Scriptures and study it, when everything is said and done, what's going to happen with this truth from this book? It's going to be there. He says that the world may pass away, but my word is not passing away. So those who think it's not true, one day are going to find out it was true, and they may find out too late it was true because they didn't believe it, and because they didn't believe it, they wind up separated from God forever. So I need the armor of truth, which is the Word of God. Now, let me meddle with myself and you. If I really believe it's true, how much time am I spending in it? You see, whether I believe it's true or not, if I really believe it, then I'll be in it. I'll be reading it, studying it, trying to understand it on an ongoing basis, not just on Sunday mornings when I come to worship. I hope you have time in the Word every day. Some of us do it in the morning. Some of us do it at night. I don't care when you do it. You need to be in the Word every day. And you know as well as I do that there can be 101 things going on today, and if you pay attention to them, you'll never have time in this book. You have to discipline yourself to say, I'm going to be in the Word no matter what, and you take that time whenever you do it. For me, I like it in the morning before I get the day gets started. For you, it may be afternoon. For others, it may be evening. But you need to be in this book for yourself. Because when you really see it for yourself, you know it's true. God reveals it to you. It's kind of hard to unconvince you once you discover, I see the truth in the Word. So I challenge you, if you're not in it, get in it. If you are, praise the Lord and keep on at it. Because I'm looking to this book, to the Bible, as a basis of everything I believe. And if it conflicts with the Word, then I am not going to accept it as being true. Okay? Second thing, ask Holy Spirit to guide me to truth. As I want to know the truth, put this on in my life, I ask Holy Spirit to guide me to truth. That means you, if you're going to have Holy Spirit guiding you, it means you're a Christian, right? You have to know Jesus in your life for salvation. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide me to the truth. Here's what Jesus said. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, has the Spirit of truth come? Is the Spirit of truth available to all of us? If you're a Christian. Then it's different if you're not a child of God, but if you're a Christian. He said, Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He said He won't speak on His own, but whatever He hears, He'll speak. Whatever the Father and the Son give Him, He's going to do that. Now, there are things in this book that some of us don't understand, and there's stuff I still don't understand. That's okay. But will the Spirit of the Lord tell you whether this is true or not? Will He, as you read it and study it, for yourself, as well as here at other places, He will let you know that it is true. Does every time someone says that this is true from the Bible, is it always true? Now you're looking at me funny. How do you know if what someone is telling you is true or not unless you're in it yourself? And the Holy Spirit of God will let you know as you study the Word, and He will reveal to you this is right or this is wrong. What I'm referring to is there are individuals who are on radio and TV and programs that when they tell you something, supposedly in the name of Jesus, they're not telling you the truth. There are people who come around to your house who are not telling you the truth. But you don't know that unless you study it for yourself. You say, well, the preacher said so-and-so. That's not the issue. What does God's Word say? And you only know it when you study it for yourself. Now, I challenge you. We have Bible studies on Sunday morning at 9:45, and that's a good place, but that's not the only place. And so I say, I ask Holy Spirit. I begin to read. The good news is, this book called the Bible, the author of the book, who is Holy Spirit, He used human beings, yes. But the author of the book gave it to us. And as you read it, you can say, Holy Spirit, You instructed this man to write, this person to write the Word. What did You mean by what You wrote? And He'll tell you what He meant by what He wrote. And the interesting thing is, the more you understand it, the more you understand that you don't understand. Now think about it. You do get insight and you get understanding, but then you realize there's a lot more I don't understand about this book. So you keep digging because there's more treasures to be found. You never dig them all out. But you ask the Spirit of God, aren't you glad to know that the author of the book, through the individuals who wrote it, but the author of the book says, I can ask Him to teach me, what do you mean by what you said and what you wrote in this book? The interesting thing is, does He ever show you different things at different times? In the same scripture passage you just read. So He applies it in difficult or in more different ways. But still, I have the privilege of putting on the armor of God, the truth, and ask Holy Spirit to guide me. The third area that I want to think about this morning is be mastered by truth. Be mastered by truth. Jesus said, I will ask the Father and He'll give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. Jesus is the ultimate truth, Jesus Himself. What am I suggesting here, being mastered by the truth? What I'm wondering and saying to me and to us together is this. When I hear truth, I'm going to apply that truth to me. I'm going to let that truth grab hold of me. Can you hear truth but not receive truth? So I want, if I'm going to be armored with the armor of God, I want that truth to take hold of me because I yield to that truth so that it begins to direct me and control me and cause me to act and respond differently because that truth is now been incorporated, absorbed, if you will, into my life, and I'm practicing it. You realize the Scripture says that they who teach the truth need to live with the truth themselves. So my question is, to me and to you, are you being mastered by the truth? Or are you just reading it and just ignoring it? Only you can answer that, right? Because God's Word is desire. God's desire is not only we read it, but that we begin to do it and it becomes incorporated into our life in such a way that it begins to control the way we think and act because the truth of God is becoming our Lord and our Master. It's incorporated into our very being as we study and read and receive it. Now, you recognize that sometimes when you read truth, you want to say, no, I don't like that one. Do you ever read a passage of Scripture and God says to you this and you say, wait a minute, I don't like that one. We all like to hear good things as long as it doesn't step on our toes. But God knows He needs to step on our toes sometimes. And He said, this needs to be changed. So I want, when I hear that, I need to say, God, help me to adjust my life in harmony with what You're doing instead of ignoring it or going on and saying, well, one day I'll get to it. I want to be mastered by the truth. On the other side of your notes is another scripture related to that. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing being raised up against the knowledge of God. We're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, are there any speculations today? Are there any lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God going on in our culture right now? Lots of them. We are, instead of that, we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Oh, may God help each of us that when we hear the truth of God, it begins to control our thought life. Do you have to have the Holy Spirit of God take control of your thought life? My thoughts being held captive to Him so that this truth is incorporated into my life and changes the way I think. I am aware, and you're probably, as you are, when I try to study this word and I try to understand it, do you ever have other things come into your mind that you say, where'd that come from? And you need to say, Lord Jesus, take control of this thought. I don't want it. I don't accept it. He can send it, but you don't have to take it. And you may need to change. If you're praying and your eyes are closed and it's coming, you maybe need to open your eyes and do something different. But say, God, take this thought away from me. Fill my mind, my thought life with you. Because He says, I want to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. To say, God, help me to receive that word so that I'm obeying it and you're taking hold of my thought life all the time. Because one of the battles of all of us is our thought life. What we think, what we believe with our mind. And so we're saying, I want to be mastered by the truth in me. Control my thought life. So if I'm going to control, He's going to control my thought life, what does that involve? Does that mean I need to be careful about what I put up here in the first place so that when I'm thinking, I've got something up there that's going to help me think right? I'm convinced that if I want to be mastered by the Lord on my thought life, I'm choosing carefully what books I read. I'm choosing carefully what TV programs I read or movies I read or conversations I get on. You know, as well as I do, sometimes we get off the track and maybe not where God wants us to be. Does that thought ever come back? Does it ever haunt you if you put into your mind something you really shouldn't have put into your mind? I've had times in my prayer life, all of a sudden, there comes into my mind a memory of something that I've let be there earlier and I don't want it. But so if I don't put it there in the first place, He can't bring it back to me in the second place. So I'm saying, God, help me to be cautious about what I put into this mind in the first place. And that's because I want to put on truth, mastered by that truth. Next area on your notes is put on truth. He talks about putting on this truth, taking it into our life in the Scripture passage. We'll suggest some areas, and you'll add a lot of other areas probably besides this truth. But I'll suggest some areas where we need to know truth, where it's important that we put on truth. First is truth about Jesus. Truth about Jesus. How critical is it that you believe the truth about Jesus? It's vital. Because the Scripture says if we're wrong on Jesus, we're wrong on all the rest of it. If we're right on Jesus, we're on the right track. Scripture listed in 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." I've mentioned this before, probably will again. The life of Jesus Christ being born of the Spirit, being placed in Mary's body, as a baby, the life He lived on earth, He lived perfectly. The fact that He finally went to the cross for us and died for our sins. He rose again the third day. He ascended to heaven. Those are key issues about Jesus. That's the Jesus I'm talking about. There are people today who say, well, Jesus is just a good man, or Jesus is just a good friend, or Jesus is just a historical figure. There are some who even say, well, Jesus is a man who became God, and then He ceased to be God, a man anyway. A man who became God and later was not God. There are teachings like this about Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ and who the Bible says He is, you're going to be wrong, and the truth will not set you free because you've got a wrong Jesus. This scripture says, as of first importance, Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again the third day, and I'd add He ascended and is coming back. But I need to put on the truth about Jesus Christ, no matter what anybody else says, because there's all kinds of opinions about Jesus. That's why I come back. What does the book say of who Jesus was? Was He God? He says He was. Was He eternal? He says He was. Is He the way to salvation? Yes, which I'll talk about in a moment. So I'll put on the truth about Jesus Christ. Is that important in our armor? Putting on truth about Christ is critical if we're going to stand in a world where there's a lot of garbage going on, a lot of false teachings, really. The devil don't mind lying to you. Do you know that? He lies to you in Christian or religious terms. And I need to know the truth about Jesus. Secondly, under that, truth about salvation. I know these are familiar to us, but I just want to remind us of them. Truth about salvation. The scripture passage says, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is a stone which is rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstones." And there is chief cornerstone, not plural. "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven which has been given among men by which we must be saved." He said, "I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the living Christ that lived here on earth. You crucified Him. God raised Him from the dead." He's talking about the healing that took place. And then He says, "There is salvation in no one else." People don't like that. You will hear, if you're paying any attention among the world in general, people in general, that there are many roads to God, and we'll take anyone we want to get there. This says, Jesus Christ is the only way. Faith in Him. Now, people don't like that, but this is God's Word. And after all, is it God's salvation? Does He have a right to tell you how He's going to do it? It's His. Not mine, it's His. And I recognize that the only way any of us will ever get to heaven is in the name and in surrender of our heart to Jesus Christ. So there's no other name given among people, among men, by which we must be saved. So I need to know that truth. You tell in love, but it's true. We're all saved by the grace of God in Jesus. So if we're saved today, it's because God chose to do it through salvation in Christ Jesus alone. I need to remember that truth. Because if I don't know I'm saved, I can't win spiritual battles. I need to know the Savior in my own life. And that I've been born again according to what God says in His Word, not someone else's opinion. Do you know that? Can you say in your heart today, "I know that I know that I know I met Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and I've trusted Him as my salvation. Not how good I am, not where I go, not what I do, but Him alone is the only way to be born again. I'm trusting Him." You need to know that. Truth. Another way, another aspect I want to suggest is truth about the devil. Truth about the devil. Now, there's a lot more truth in the Bible. I'm just naming a few. Truth about the devil. I don't always stop and think about this, but I need to, and you need to. We're well aware that when you see the pictures of the devil, what do you see? Got these horns, this red pitchfork in his red suit. Well, I want to tell you something. That's not the devil. He doesn't come that way. He comes sneaky. Especially to believers. He didn't come and say, "Blake, why don't you just go out and do this today?" No, he's not going to do that. He just began to move us over a little at a time. You see, I need to be cautious about what I accept outside the Scriptures, because many people say, "Well, it won't hurt this much." Somebody said it this way: how does a cow get lost? By nipping one piece of grass at a time. Well, isn't that the way the devil comes? He says, it's okay. You don't have to believe that quite that way. It's all right if you fudge a little bit. Well, doesn't he? He does. The scripture on your note says, be sober. That means be alert, be alive. It means be aware, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking someone he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers, your brotherhood in the world. Now, when does the devil quit walking around as a roaring lion? When does he go back to his, what are you going to call it, cave or whatever? When does he go back and stop? He doesn't. He's going to come and try to get us sidetracked. Because I'm convinced the battle is more than us. I think if you go through the whole of Christianity, in the beginning it was God and the devil. Who was the devil trying to defeat, Adam and Eve or God? Is that still true? The bigger battle is we have an enemy who doesn't like God. He uses us as pawns in it if we allow him to, or we become God's servants, one of the two. And so I need to be alert. He said, because be sober, be alert, be aware. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He is available. He is real, as real as the Holy Spirit is. And I need to be alert. That's why I need to be in the Word. Because even in the Word, did the devil use the Word against Jesus? But Jesus knew enough to know that's not what the Word meant. You need to know that too. So when he comes and tempts you along the way, you say, wait a minute, that doesn't... He says, resist him how? Steadfast in the faith. Because others are going through that. But I need to remember. And I forget that sometimes, that I do have an opponent. I have an enemy who really wants to do me in. And he'll use a variety of things to sidetrack me, to get me off. He'll take any event, any circumstance or whatever to get me sidetracked. To get me so busy I don't have time to do the right things, whatever. I know I'm responsible for my choices, but he's still there. So I need to know the truth. I'm putting on the armor of truth. That's what I'm talking about. The last thing I want to think about is truth about myself as a child of God. Truth about myself as a child of God. Now, there are a lot of other truths in this book that you can search out, and I obviously didn't have time to try to cover them all. But I suggest some important ones. Put on truth. Bind it around my life that I know Jesus, I'm saved, I realize I have an enemy, but I can resist him. Then truth about myself as a child of God. I believe that the enemy who doesn't want us to know who we are when Jesus Christ saves us. I really do. Let me read the scripture passage and I'll share with you what I'm thinking. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is that true? You see, the devil wants us to think, no, you're still what you were before you got saved. He wants to remind you of your past and how bad you were and that you really aren't changed. You just think you are. He says, if anyone is what? In Christ. Are you in Christ? Can you say, I know I've been born again of the Spirit of God and Jesus lives in me. I belong to Christ. If you can, because you trusted Jesus as Savior, what does it say about you? If you are in Christ, you are what? You're a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. Now, I know that's a learning process. But anyway, when you're born again, how much of you gets born again? When you come to Christ and confess your sin, receive him as Savior, how much of your sin does he get rid of? But the devil wants you to feel like you're a defeated individual. He comes and says, remember all your stuff you did before. No. I need to recognize who I am in Jesus, not because I'm a good goody-two-shoes thing guy, but because the Savior of the world, who died on that cross, has come and forgiven my sins that He paid for on the cross, and I've received Him as Savior, and He has taken up His dwelling place inside me. I am a new person in Christ. Now, I realize that learning to live that out takes a lifetime. What I think of is this. When a baby is born, generally, I know there's sometimes defects, but assuming a normal birth, that baby has all it needs to walk, talk, grow, learn. It just has to develop over the period of time. What I'm saying is, when you become a child of God, you are a new baby in Christ with all the potential you have that you need to become a full-grown child of God. It's there already. You don't have to get it. You just need to exercise it. So I want to know the truth. You see, I'm convinced that Christians sometimes get defeated because they don't recognize who we are in Jesus. I'm not talking about bragging on ourselves. That's not it. I have no room to rag on myself because I was a sinner lost and going to hell, and Jesus saved me. It's all by His grace. But to realize this is who I am. I'm a child of God, a new creation in Christ. So therefore, I will live that way. I will set my pattern of life that way. And I want you to think about that. Now, I realize some individuals have problems with that, and that's okay. But I ask you to search the Word and see if it's true or not. What does the Bible say about you? You're born again. You're blameless. You're going to heaven. God's forgiven you. There's some wonderful things about who you are in Jesus. And so I want to live that way. I want to go that way because of that. So, if I'm to have victory, I put on the armor of truth. Truth, truth, truth. From the Word, and all these things I'm talking about are in the Scriptures. Trust the Holy Spirit to guide me and the truth to master me, so that I'm putting on truth all the time. You need to know that in this world. In order to have victory, you need to know the truth, especially about God and salvation. The only way to know that is faith in Jesus Christ. You have to be born again, because you'll never understand what I'm talking about till you know Jesus. You can't. The Bible says human mind doesn't comprehend it. It's a fleshly man doesn't. But if you'll receive Christ, He'll open it up to you. He'll show you things you didn't know that He would show you. So my prayer is, if you don't know Jesus today, you'll ask Him, come and live in my heart. I want to defeat the devil, but I can't do it on my own. I ask Jesus to come live inside me, to save me, forgive me of my sins. Let's bow together. Lord, I thank You that You're here in truth. And the truth about us and where we are, You know exactly where we are with You. You know whether we're in tune with You or whether we're walking away from You. You know if we're saved or not. So I pray that You'll reveal the truth to each of us about where we are with You. And then help us to begin to live the truth more and more, armored with the truth of God, and the truth about us, and the truth about Jesus, truth from Your Word. And Lord, today, thank You for Your Spirit to speak to us. We pray, Lord, that each of us will listen in our own holy, in our own heart, as the Holy Spirit of God draws us to respond to You, to what we've thought about, what the Word has said. Lord, may any soul without Jesus this day be the day of salvation, when they commit their life and receive what You've already done into their own life. We pray now Your guidance in this response that we're making today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We sing, if you're giving your heart to Christ, come and share it. You want just to pray for you about an issue in your own life, come.